Today on Real Life Radio.
The world needs hope tonight. The world needs the hope that only the gospel can bring. But the truth is, the Bible is the only lasting hope that can be infused into your life. There's no other way to have true, abiding hope.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10, continues a series called The Why Series. The desire to pray comes from knowing that God loves us and is always there for us. It's prayer that develops within us the loving character of Jesus and our own capacity to love and care for others. Together, we've been learning about the power of prayer, to live and move in an attitude of prayer no matter what's going on around us. We see how walking in the Spirit brings wisdom and clarity to those who ask for it. Even in the face of hostility, believers can find confidence in God's Word, knowing that the Holy Spirit resides within us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when reality hits, it hits hard. The world can't handle the message of love and grace and will fight against it. To be a follower of Christ is to be hit by the hatred of this world. But the Holy Spirit compels us to share the gospel no matter what comes against us. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But Father, we pray that the epicenter of revival would break open in California, shock the world, and Lord, that revival would sweep the church in America, and God, that you would heal our land of crime, of racism, of division, of hurt. God, we just commit this now into your hands and the Bible study tonight in your word. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Awesome. Let's grab our Bibles tonight then and turn, if you would, as we're in the Why series, turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 13 tonight in our study. We're looking at the Holy Spirit as we have been quite exhaustively over time. The Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And we're looking tonight at what we're going to be calling Into the Clash, or the Holy Spirit leading you intentionally into the clash, where two worlds are coming together in opposition to one another. And what is the church to be doing? How are we to be conducting ourselves as believers in the 21st century? What is it that God would have of us to do at a time like this? All about the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and living in the time that we're in. It is God's will that you and I be engaged in what's happening in the world around us, into that clash, into that arena. Acts chapter 13, it's exactly what's going on in the book of Acts. In fact, the book of Acts could be described as a book that records the account of the truth clashing with the falsehood, with light colliding with darkness. The book of Acts. By the way, it's many times referred to as the Acts of the Disciples or the Acts of the Apostles. That's not a good title. It's actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believers. Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted," listen now, "the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them to do.'" Verse 3, "Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they had arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." I want to show you a little bit of this region. It's pretty cool looking by way of Bible. You might not be familiar with the accuracy of the Bible. And when you see these names, you don't recognize these names, but I want you to look at this map right here. We're gonna try something new. I'm very excited about this, what the guys have set up. When it talks about the gospel being preached and where it's breaking out, the gospel first started in this region here. If you look down below, Jerusalem would be right down below that line. That's where the gospel was launched out of there. But when we talk about this area of Antioch, we're looking at an area now right here. The disciples went up the coastline. We know this from the book of Acts, and they preached the gospel at this Antioch first. And you say, what do you mean this Antioch? Well, there's another Antioch that is found in the Bible. Both are biblically referenced, and both are places where revival broke out. As the gospel began to spread, now look at this. The gospel began to go throughout all of this area. You come now to this other Antioch. And in each of those places, churches were started, churches were founded. And in every account, the Holy Spirit was upon the believers, and there was a great movement westward. And of course, this region, the Holy Spirit sent the church throughout all this area until that gospel came to where you're at today. And this is very important. So Acts chapter 13 tells us about the movement of the Holy Spirit later on, sometime later, and now using the Apostle Paul. So from there, I want you to get some notepaper ready or your Bible margins, and you want to write this down. A much needed foundation and example for us to make note of tonight in our study regarding the Holy Spirit in your life by Him intentionally sending you out into the world around you. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6 are important to us, very important. Romans 15, 4, for whatever things were written before, that's a reference to the Old Testament. Hey, can I say it again? Many of you are new here. I want you to know that when the New Testament church was born and they read the Bible, you know they didn't have a New King James Version like you had. When the disciples studied the Word of God, when the apostles studied the Bible, what are we talking about? The Old Testament. That's all they had. See, wait a minute. We're talking about New Testament. Yeah. That's how the New Testament launched, was with the Old Testament. When Paul talks about in Romans 15, those things that are written beforehand, he's referring to the Old Testament. In other words, you should be able to preach Christ flawlessly from the Old Testament only. If you have to go to the New Testament, then go ahead. But it's all there in the Old. Think about that the next time you read it. It's all there. I think it's Psalm 40 announces that, behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, a reference to the Messiah. But in Romans 15, verse 4, it tells us that those things written beforehand were written for, number one, our learning, that, number two, we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The world needs hope tonight. The world needs the hope that only the gospel can bring. But the truth is, the Bible is the only lasting hope that can be infused into your life. There's no other way to have true abiding hope. You can hope in the stock market. Your hope is short-lived. Come on, let's be honest. You can hope in your vitamin regime. God bless you. That's great. Take care of yourself. That's fine. But reality will someday hit. And let me tell you, hope in Jesus Christ trumps all that stuff. I'm not saying don't take your vitamins. And if you want to wear a mask, wear it. But know this, you need Jesus. We need Jesus. And we need that hope. And so the Bible is very clear about us having hope. From where? From the scriptures. Verse 5. Now may the God of all patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. That's called unity. According to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that's the foundation, the Bible. And into the clash of these two worlds, Jesus said this. In John 15, 18, boy, we need this tonight. If the world hates you, just pause for that for a moment. The amount of effort we go through in life, in either intentionally or unintentionally, knowingly or unknowingly, to win the love of others is exhaustive. Insecurity causes you to fear the opinions of man. And when you are not secure in your love relationship with Jesus, you are shocked when the world doesn't love you. Let me give you some good news. Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you love Jesus? Don't raise your hand. If you love Jesus, then we need to begin to wrap our minds around this thing that the world is going to hate us. See, Pastor, I don't like that. I don't like the way it sounds. The alternative is completely unacceptable. The alternative is that the world love us. But the world is incapable of not only loving us, the world is incapable of loving itself. And so he says to us, verse 19 of John chapter 15, if you were of the world would love its own. The world applauds itself. By the way, it's very, what's the word, fickled? Yay! On Monday, and then the world will eat itself on Tuesday. A lot of people in Hollywood right now getting eaten alive by Hollywood because some people are stepping into the light and seeing the difference right now as we speak. It's amazing to see what's going on. And yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. He goes on, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master's or master. If they persecuted me, this is a promise. I guarantee you, when you buy that little promise thing at the Christian bookstore, this is probably not in it. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. How's that for a Monday verse? If they kept my word, they would keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him, that's the Father, who sent me. That's Jesus speaking. Here's the deal. As a Christian, I am going to be hated if I am like Jesus. If the world begins to speak well of me, then the Bible says I cannot be a friend of this world and the friend of God at the same time. So you and I are tempted by going about to try to win the opinion of people, and it's nothing more than that. It's an opinion. But when you live for God, and I've often said this, and I'm going to keep saying it, try it for 30 days. I'm so convinced, I know you can't push this theologically and someone will freak about this, but even if you're an unbeliever tonight and you say, I'm going to call out to God for 30 days. I'm going to take you up on that challenge. I only ask this of you, for you to be intellectually honest enough to come and report back in 30 days to me. Why? Because in 30 days, God will begin to reveal himself to you, and you're going to come to me saying, I determined 30 days ago to come up and just put my finger right in your nose and tell you how wrong you were, Pastor. But 21 days into it, God spoke to my heart and met me head on. Don't be surprised. He's alive, he's listening, and he's willing to appear to any heart that is honest. Just ask him and see. But you and I are going to live in a world that is going to, by nature, clash against our biblical worldview. And you cannot succumb to the pressures of this world. Please, know what he has said to you. And as the Holy Spirit uses you, I've prayed for you, I will continue to pray for you, that God uses you. Because let me tell you, once God touches you in this clash, that is, he, as we'll see tonight, deploys you into the world, you will get galvanized. Remember that old word, to be galvanized? You become resistant to the weather of this world. And whatever is thrown at you. I remember George Whitefield and John and Charles Wesley used to preach the gospel in England. And George Whitefield in America. But in England, people would come and they would hiss and cuss and curse and throw mud at those guys. And then they started, because they wouldn't stop preaching. What was funny, they were preaching in the open air fields, And you would think that the non-believer would stay home. If they don't want to hear the gospel, stay home. What a concept. If you don't want to hear it, stay home. But they preached the gospel and people came out. And they brought rotten tomatoes, rotten eggs, and they started throwing them at the preachers, and they started to, it didn't deter them. They just kept preaching. And think of this. In, I think it was 1768 or 1769, George Whitefield is preaching, and there is an estimated 60,000 people that showed up in the farmland to hear him preach. And people came and they started throwing dead cats at him. They couldn't find anything else, so they picked up some dead cat, and it became popular to throw dead cats while he was preaching. What was it about Whitefield? It was the gospel of love and grace that clashed with a world that was ensconced by a demonic power, like a dark cloud, keeping the people in bondage. And he preached to the coal miners of England, and they were set free, an outcast people. Remarkable. I want to remind you, as we step through these 7 points tonight, I want to remind you back again in Acts chapter 13, look at verse 2. But as they ministered to the Lord, oh my goodness, is that not beautiful? As they, who are the theys in this? Us, the believers. Those guys then, the believers. Can you expect, I do, if we minister to the Lord and fast, that is seek God, put him first, can you not from Scripture believe that the Holy Spirit's going to speak? 100% guaranteed. How do you know? It's in the Bible. What's required of me to minister to the Lord? Notice that when you're ministering to the Lord, you'll be ministering by the Lord, through the power of the Lord, to the people of God and to the will of the Lord. All you and I are to do is to be willing to be used by God. And they were doing that. And when you do that, you can expect God to do great things. And the Holy Spirit said, mark that down. Those of you who are cult members, Jehovah's Witnesses, mark it down. You don't believe that the Holy Spirit exists. You believe that the Holy Spirit is some sort of like electronic or cosmic electrical force. It's true. I'm not here to beat you up. You know it's true. That's what you study, that the Holy Spirit is not a person. Well, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me. That sounds pretty personal. Barnabas and Saul, that's Paul, for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit spoke. Wouldn't you love to have seen how that happened, how that unfolded? But yet we can kind of have an educated guess. When you're ministering to the Lord, it means that you're busy about your Father's business. It means that you're praying. It means that you're in fellowship. Listen, let's be honest. It means that you're keeping yourself usable, which means you're keeping yourself clean. See, what does that mean? That means, and it's real. It means that if I offend Bruce or Jennifer, or if I offend Bob, then I go to them. I say, did I offend you? I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. Please, I didn't mean that. Or I did mean it, and I was convicted, and I'm so sorry I did that. Are you hearing me? Yes. That's the Christian walk. Amen. Do you understand that? So no, I thought we just kind of hovered over the earth and glowed in the dark. No, we don't. No, we don't. Listen, when we wrong somebody or when we do something to grieve the Holy Spirit, we repent of it. There's a lot of Christians, and by the way, God will take care of this. If we are in the midst of a revival, or if it's starting to break out, and I believe it is, the evidence in California is overwhelming anyway, is that God begins to move. Guess what happens? God will burden your heart, and you will be compelled by the Holy Spirit to go make amends in that broken relationship, or to go make up with your mom, or to go make up with that friend, or that coworker, or that boss. It's what God does. And people will go, what are you doing? I'm so sorry for being disrespectful. I haven't liked you for years. And I've always thought this about you. And God touched my heart. And do you know what happens? I'm telling you right now. This happened to my dad and I. After I did this, what I'm about to tell you, It only took him about 21 years to come to Christ, but he came. And that was this. I remember pushing my dad's Orange County Register newspaper down the day after I got saved. And I said, Dad, and he looked at me. And I said, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and I love you, Dad. That had never been spoken in our home. And he didn't know what to do. It freaked him out. I believe from that moment, it took 21 years for his hard, strong, brazen heart to melt. But I didn't care as long as it melted before he entered eternity. And he did. 7 days after that, he died. My dad accepted Christ. 7 days later, he was dead. Don't tell me God's not good. God is awesome. God was patient. God waited and God worked. God was kind. And so that verse goes on to say, they ministered and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, now separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them to do. Verse 3, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. They sent them away. Number one, into the clash. The Holy Spirit in the life of the believer at work is this. Be encouraged tonight, believer. Be encouraged because the Holy Spirit is sending us out. I'll prove it. How many of you are born again believers? Raise your hand. That's all the proof I needed to see. If that's true, the Holy Spirit is in you working this work, and that is to send you out. Now see, what does that mean? Does that mean we get, is that the word from God for us to move out of California? Hey, you know what? Go ahead and move. I think you're going to miss something though. Go ahead and move. I get it. But did you see the weather today? No, I'm joking. Not sort of, maybe not. It was amazing today. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit's moving. And again, I've said it over and over again, sound like a broken record, but the Holy Spirit loves to move against all the odds. He loves to move against all of the darkness. You and I are being sent out into this world that's around us. It does nobody good, with all due respect. It does nobody good if you're sitting in an igloo up in Alaska thinking that you've escaped the world. You're going to escape the world one day. It's called the rapture. Or if you die, that's called the rupture. Something breaks or you go up. Rapture or rupture, one or the other. That's how you get to the paradise place. But don't hide out in an igloo saying, no, I'm safe. I'm safe here. No, listen, you have been galvanized by the Holy Spirit. You raised your hand a moment ago, which implies that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. That's how you're born again. And his desire is to send you out. Every single one of us. You say, well, Pastor, I work at this company. I'm like the only one in the warehouse. You know what? You're not the only one in the warehouse. God is with you, and somebody somehow will come across your path. You say, how am I going to know when it's time to minister? When that person comes across your path?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10. We're glad you joined us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life as we look to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as the body of Christ, we all have our talents and gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. And as we face challenges and setbacks, we need the right tools to help us along the way. That is exactly where we can help. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app for your smartphone or tablet is designed to give you on-the-go access to scripture, devotions, all sorts of media, along with all kinds of topics and speakers that you can tap into. Also, a lot of videos on prophecy and important news updates that really matter to you. So, when you need a little break from the chaos of this world, you can stay on course with all that Pastor Jack has to offer right there at your fingertips. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app through the App Store or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.